preacher.
Our Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but by through Him the world might be saved. For there are none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Hallelujah. God commended His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, God commended His love towards us. All my Bible said that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they believe whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall we preach unless we be sent? I praise the Lord tonight for what He's allowed me to do over the past 33 years of preaching. I carry a title, Executive Vice President of the largest independent Baptist prison ministry in the world. I carry the title of Vice President over Foreign Affairs. I carry the title of Vice President over a College of Biblical Studies with over 225 students studying in upper education. But the greatest title that I carry tonight, titled being a son of God, and the greatest honor I carry tonight is to be called a missionary out of Liberty Missionary Baptist Church in Bowdoin, Georgia. I can't think of a greater honor tonight. For the Ken knew me when I knew nothing. I know not much more, but years have worked on me some. I have loved the mission field. I still love the mission field. I ventured off as a 24-year-old preacher with my little blonde-haired wife, my 18-month boy, oldest son, drug her off to a Bible college in just out of Dallas, Texas. And there, at a chapel service in that college, came a missionary and challenge, what will you do with your life? And from that day forward, I've given my life to this matter of studying missions, promoting missions, and trying to help the church understand. 25 years ago, I was called to a specific mission, and that was reaching men and women behind prison bars. For you see, it's nothing more than going where sinners are and tell them the age-old story that Jesus still saves. But Ken asked me, would I pray about a mission message? Now, I did begin to pray, and I have many mission messages that are of great challenge, and I love to preach them, because I get to run up and down the aisles and shout a little bit and have a good time. But the Lord began to speak to my heart over not a message, but a lesson that I have taught in many conferences, Bible college settings, and time will not permit me to teach what I hope to teach tonight, so I'll just give you somewhat of the heading of it. We need about a week to get through this. But I want to give you an overview of missions tonight, if I can, and pray that God would not only help you, but that He would refresh me and remind me of the purpose for you and I after we are saved. Let's start, if you would. Now, you're going to have to use your Bibles. I should have prepared you to maybe take some notes, but go, if you would, to Acts chapter number 1. While you're going to Acts chapter number 1, I want to pray. And then I am sensitive to time. You said do as the Holy Spirit leads. That's fine. But if I get in the instruction mode, you could be here a while. But I do want to do something tonight that I hope will be a blessing to the church. There's some areas, some very, very serious areas in our churches around the world. If ever the church is slipping into indifference and apathy, it is happening in 2013. Not just in America, though America is being overwhelmed by a dryness, but literally around the world. I preached a revival 3 weeks ago in a city in Brazil. In that city, it's predominantly Italian Catholic, 55,000 Italian Catholics. One preacher with 75 to 80 members, a little Baptist church, Brother Ken, they have threatened his family, they've threatened him, they beat him up. It is so many things. He was ready to close the church and walk away. And I began to preach and remind them a little bit of how God had brought them for a purpose to that place. I got a call from Brazil today between church. I said, "How's the church going, preacher?" He said, "Brother Ricky, we're more challenged than we've been since we started. God has moved in our heart." He said, "We had forgot we're a mission field. We must reach this people." Pray for that dear brother there in that little Brazilian town as he tries to reach his people for the glory of God. Let's pray, then I'll read one verse and then keep your Bibles open. I'm going to go through every gospel tonight. Hope you brought something to eat. No. Just the last couple verses of the last chapter of all the gospels. Notice if you would, let's pray and then we'll go to Acts chapter 1. Our Father, I pray, Lord, help me tonight, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the good singing. My prayer was that the testimonies would go on and the blessed Holy Ghost of God would just flood our soul. Lord, thank you for making it just as wonderful tonight for my salvation as it was that day you found me. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that you would take these thoughts, that you open our minds and our hearts, and God, you give us a clear thinking of our purpose, that every person sitting in this church is vital to the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. So, Lord, please tonight bless as only you can, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Very familiar verse, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "But ye shall," and this is Jesus speaking, "receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus would close his four gospels with a commission and a command and a charge and a cause for his church. He would tell his church that there's coming a Holy One. I literally wished I had 7 or 8 hours to just teach on this person of the Holy Ghost of God. Oh my, I have spent years studying and reading. I teach a class to leadership folk and to all new missionaries on the anointing with the Holy Ghost of God. For you see, you might try to make it with your education and your talents and your finances and your abilities. But when you endeavor to take on he that is just out to destroy you and that old devil, you better have a touch from the Holy One of Heaven. If time would permit, we'd talk about how influential the Holy Ghost of God is. We speak a little bit about his personality and his anointing and his infilling. I'm afraid tonight that so many churches forget the fullness of who he is. I am a Baptist preacher tonight. I believe in the triune God, the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I believe tonight that the Holy Ghost of God is as much God and as much Christ as if they were standing in our very presence tonight. So many times we emphasize the area of His person that is more conducive to our lifestyle. But tonight, if you allow me, I want to speak on the work of the Holy Spirit of God. For you see, He did not come into the world to do a work in the lives of you and me. The Bible said we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He said that the Holy Ghost of God would not speak of Himself, but He would speak of Christ. He said that ye are... Now listen, you do not pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You do not ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be ye filled is a commandment. And that means getting me out and flesh out and let Him fill up. Now the Bible says that ye shall receive power. This word power comes from a Greek word, dunamai, dunanai, dunamus, and on, where we get our word dynamite from. 9 different Greek words for power in our Bible, and 8 of those, Brother Ken, are from the dunai, or the dunamus, or the dunamai Greek word. It is always associated with the inertion, power of Almighty God. Man cannot contain it. Man cannot take it. I cannot save anybody. I cannot draw anybody. But hold it just a minute. He said, ye shall receive the very power from Almighty God by way of the Holy Ghost of God. And when He gave the commission to this church and churches like you to go into all the world, you can't accomplish that as a people. Question. Would God have given us a task that we could not fulfill? Would God have said to us to go and we could not go there? Can I submit to you tonight that as much as the world might preach that revival can't come, that we're living in the last days, that we're just gleaning a little bit of souls, let me remind you what the Bible said. The Bible said there will come a day of great falling away. But He said, and him that let shall let no more. Not until that day, Brother Ken, that blessed Holy One goes to glory. And by the way, when He goes back, we go back. Until that day, He can be tapped into. His work can continue to go on. The church of God can continue to see the power of God is as real as if Pentecost had fell again tonight. We're quite able. Now, what is this matter of missions? And Jesus said, when He comes, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This blessed Holy Ghost of God. Now watch for a moment. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit in you and I is for you and I to become witnesses unto Him. Now notice in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, I think one of the gravest problems we face today, and what has caused so much shallow soul winning and shallow salvations, is we have allowed a generation of doctrinal teaching, and I don't think there's a ministry that sees as many people saved as our ministry does across this country. But old Dr. Ballou used to say, now boys, we're going out there to get them, but let's don't pick them green. And I think one of our biggest dangers have been, we think that you can bring and hold a little seminar and teach folks to go out and say, do 1, 2, 3, they'll get saved. I have no problem going out and taking my Bible and leading a man or woman or child to Christ. But I'm not moving if He don't move. And you cannot, Brother Mike, you cannot save anybody. But the Bible said that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall become witnesses unto me. He didn't say unto the prisoners. He didn't say unto your community. He didn't say unto Africa or Asia or India or Australia. He said, what does the Bible say? But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, and you shall become witnesses unto me. This is why I love the King James Bible. It's because these modern translations want to change it out and say, you'll become a witness for me. That's not what my Bible said. What my Bible said, Brother Mike, is this: you shall become witnesses unto me. You understand that you can't save anyone, but you can take that Bible. And if the Holy Ghost of God begins to convict, you can take the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus. And this word un comes from a Latin word that means one to another. Otherwise, it's a marriage thing. You became marriage, became one flesh. And at that point, Brother Ken, that you're preaching, the Holy Ghost comes down, an old sinner comes up, you begin to pray, they gloriously get saved, you become empowered by God in your preaching, and you actually are used of God, and you and Him become one. And you're a witness unto Him, and the glory of God saves the old sinner. Now, turn if you would to Matthew. The job of the church is to have the power of the Holy Ghost of God. What is missions? You see, the entire, after we were saved, our entire purpose is missions. Now let's think for a moment. You'll not find the word missionary or missions in your Bible. Not the word. For the word missionary or mission comes from the Latin word that means one sent on a mission. The Greek equivalent to that word is aspatello, which is apostle. One sent on a mission. Now notice if you would in Matthew, the last chapter of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18. As you're looking there, the Bible is clear, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. First of all, let me tell you a little bit about this man, Matthew. And in all four Gospels, very little history is written on Jesus. The four Gospels contain most of the world's history about the man Jesus. Josephus and another historian of the first century wrote a little bit. But the Gospels contain the most. You really need to know and understand those God used to pen the Bible to understand the approach He was coming from. Matthew was unique in his writings. Most scholars believe that the original text of Matthew was written in the Hebrew language, later brought over into the Greek so that all could understand it. But Matthew predominantly went to the Jewish people. Matthew was more interested in Jerusalem. Remember the Bible said, you shall become witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Now you're going to find in the Gospels, Jesus surmised at Pentecost, before Pentecost, He said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. When He does, we're going to fulfill these Gospels. Matthew saw Him as a lion. Matthew saw Him as king. He was King of kings and Lord of lords. With that mindset from Matthew of him being king, Matthew heard Jesus' last words to the disciples, to the church, as such. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus used an interesting Greek word. He did not use dunamis or dunamai. He used excelsios. The word excelsios is not that inert power directly from God, because Jesus always had that. He could have called 10,000 angels. He was the Son of God. What He did receive from God because of Calvary, He came as a servant, remember? He came as the Lamb of God. But Jesus said, all power, excelsios, which is an authorized authority, Otherwise, Jesus said, or Matthew saw Jesus in this fashion, He's king, God has made Him king, He has all authority, and from the authority of the throne of Christ, He said, go ye therefore. With all authority from the throne room. Go ye therefore, and watch what the Bible said, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Now watch this. We are told here what is known as the Great Commission. For the King has commissioned us as ambassadors to go ye therefore, and the Bible said, to all nations. Now I want to ask the church tonight, are you in all nations? Are you in all nations? Okay. Now watch what the Bible says. It uses two different words here. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's an interesting word because he said teach nations. And in verse 20 he says teaching them to observe. He uses the word teaching. He uses the word teach. And it's two different words in the Greek text. Meaning it means to teach, but teach takes on a broader method. When he says teaching all nations, he used the word mathetio. And it is where we get our word mathematics from. It means, Brother Ken, it basically meant to teach them to be a disciple. Or you may have heard some say that verse means making disciples. Otherwise, the ideal is you've got to teach them how to be a disciple before you can teach them more about God. So he's using the word Matteo. If you could put it this way, it's a building upon building like laying brick. You lay this brick, and then you lay that brick, and then you lay a brick in between them, and you lay another brick, and you lay another brick, and you're teaching, and the young Christian and the world that does not know Christ is being taught, and the gospel is being sent, and they're getting the seed, and it's being planted. See, you're not only responsible for those that are saved today, but when you're gone, if the Lord has tarried His coming, you're responsible for the generation you leave behind. We're going to answer to God for those we leave behind worldwide. So we're to go into all nations, teaching them. That means tell them about Jesus. Pass them out a gospel tract. Send out another Bible. Do what you have to do to get the gospel message. And the Bible said publish it in all nations. Get it out there. Now watch, I'm getting there. Then he said, teaching them to observe all things. This is diasko, it's didactic teaching. The difference here is, Matteo means that basically on-the-job training. I take you by the hand, I show you how to do it. The other word, didasko, means that you take and stand with instruction and you teach them the wonderful things of God. Now wait a minute. This is from the King, the authority. This is the Great Commission. The Church of God has the responsibility to get the gospel message around the world, to send more missionaries, to send more Bibles, to print more that you have to do, to preach the old-fashioned message. Get on the radio, get on the internet, and get the gospel around the world. That's what he's saying. Our King has commissioned us. Now, if you would, go to Mark chapter 16. Mark is an interesting writer. Most believe it to be John Mark. John Mark traveled, of course, with Barnabas and Paul. Mark wrote to a crowd. See, only two of the writers of the Gospels had an eyewitness account of Jesus. Only two. That was John and Matthew. Luke and Mark were not there when Jesus walked on the earth. Their account would come from someone else. Many believe that John Mark traveled with Paul, and Paul dictated much of what Mark would do. Mark, in his unique style, dramatized everything. No other gospel dramatizes like Mark does. And Mark did that so as he could take it to a people who had not encountered eyewitness account with Jesus, and so he dramatized it so they might better understand who the person of Christ was. If you would, Mark introduced our style of preaching today. Mark brought into existence your style of preaching, Brother Ken. To get up and just tell about that one. You've never seen him with your eyes, but you felt him in your soul. You know he's been there for you. He is there. Listen, I'm not like all robbers. I didn't see a 900-foot Jesus. But I'm going to tell you at 5:30 this morning, hang on while I shout a minute. Hallelujah! He slipped up in that prophet's room up there, and he and I had a time, and he was as real as if he walked the earth. Mark was that kind of a writer. Mark would come on the scene. Mark would open his gospel in Mark 1 and verse 1 with this verse, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how he'd open his book. He would then, Mark, this man that had the burden, he had to go tell the people that had never seen Jesus. If you would, Matthew reached Jerusalem. And Mark was going after the Greek language people in Judea. The Greek-speaking Jew of Judea. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, this is how that Mark saw him. You see, Matthew saw him as king. Mark saw him as a servant. Mark saw it, Jesus saying it like this, verse 15 of chapter 6. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew said it was a commission. John says it's a command. Matthew said, the king has said for you to take that you have learned, that he has given you, that he has blessed you with, your finances, your talents, your ability to pray, and go and give it to others. And Mark said, I command you today by the Holy One, the servant, he who thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but humbled himself and became a servant. Go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he said. That's going to hair lip a lot of people. I don't believe in ordaining women. Don't believe in women holding preaching positions. But this word preach means go proclaim it. Men, women, and children. To every creature. And say, get you an outline, ladies, and go up there and say, ha! Folks that have made more difference to me, Brother Ken, have been them dear old saints of God. Been many times I've walked into homes. I was a heating and air repairman. I've walked in homes. There'd be an old saint of God, a dear lady. And I'd walk in and I'd listen at the door. And you'd hear, just the other day, a friend of the church said, Brother Ricky, he does that kind of stuff. And because I have engineering background, he said, I'm stumped. Will you ride with me? I said, yeah, come on and I'll take a look. And it was in a church. And I was going to go in there and try to show him a little of those electronic stuff and how to troubleshoot it. And when we walked in, the preacher's door was cracked open. And I looked in there and there was an old saint of God. And she was down on her knees, Brother Ken. And she was going, well, Lord, woo, my sweet Jesus. I told him, just hang on a minute. She'll probably pray that thing running here in a little while. Just go preach it to every creature. You see, Matthew saw it as commission to go teach about Christ. And Mark saw it a command to go to every creature. Every creature. And preach the marvelous message. I'll go to the last chapter of the book of Luke, would you please? Notice the progression. The king has commissioned the church in Matthew to go. The responsibility is to take this Bible. Now the responsibility of the man of God is to teach the people of God how to understand the Bible. The commission of the people of God collectively and the church is to take that message to a world who does not know Christ. And if you're going to teach all nations, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they be sent? Unless we invest some way or the other our lives, whether it be through our financial giving or going ourselves. We still stand before the God of heaven. We'll give an account for what we did. I don't have to give an account to how many are saved. I just have to give an account to getting that message that all may hear. I love Luke. Luke's my favorite. Luke probably was a close companion of Paul. Luke is an interesting man. He was a physician. If you study this man, Luke, you'll find he was a man of great compassion. He was given to helping the poor. I think Luke was a physician that by heart, Brother Ken, not by finances and not because he wanted to achieve great tasks. I think Luke wanted to help people. That was the kind of man he was. His total emphasis of Jesus is Jesus the man. He speaks more than any other gospel. He speaks more of the prayer life of our Savior than any other person in the Bible. He mentions more about Jesus' prayer. He speaks more about Jesus' compassion for widows and fatherless and children and the poor. He rebukes those that are of great wealth that do very little and says that life does not consist of the abundance of things that we have. He highlights throughout his gospel certain rich men. Even to the point he says there was a rich man in Lazarus. But before you get hair lift, I heard a preacher say the other day there were two rich men that died. And guess where Lazarus was? He was in the bosom of Abraham. And Abraham did not die a poor man. Nothing wrong with having riches as long as riches don't have us. I like Luke. Luke looked at him as the Son of God who left his throne of glory, came down from heaven, and took upon himself flesh. He understood Jesus to understand us. Now watch what Luke says. We have the Great Commission. We have the great command in Luke chapter number 24, verse 46. Here we have the charge of missions. He said unto them, thus it is written, Jesus is speaking, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name, where? Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. If Matthew was going after Jerusalem, and Mark was the reaching of Judea, then Luke had to reach the Samaritan. Samaritan was that old drug addict. He's one who comes in with the earrings and the tattoos and just old broke up life. He's old half-breed. All he is. He's wanted to buses where they pick them kids up, drive by his house when he's a boy. Because he's just a little too dirty to get on their bus. He's that one whose daddy was an old drunkard. Luke wanted that crowd. And he depicted Jesus as a man of great compassion. But Luke would give the charge. But he would say to the church, but don't you move until you be endued with power from on high. Now, I don't mean to offend anyone. I've been a missionary a long time in a lot of churches. I'm not addressing this church, I'm addressing churches. I'm a bit annoyed at a few things after years of being a missionary. You see, when you get my age and then they hang a title on you, everybody thinks you have all you need. I am 33 years proven missionary. But you can bring a young family in here, young boy, he ain't never done anything, never even taught a Sunday school class, got three little old kids, y'all get to squall and take them on for support, hallelujah, praise God, there they go. They go 3 years on deputation, spend over $200,000 of God's money, then take a church somewhere and never go to mission field. Now, do I think there's folks like that? Let me give you an illustration. You support him. I think it is. And that's Josh Adams. Josh is a real deal. Young family comes by, raises support, doing a tremendous job. One of our best missionaries with the ministry. But whatever happens, saying church, saying to the missionary, every Sunday night we meet as men and women and we pray. And your name's going to come up, and if the Holy One of Heaven endues us with power and leads us to support you, you will be supported. You pray, and we'll see what God does on the next prayer meeting night. Now, that's just an illustration of a missionary, but Luke said, don't go endeavor to take this task. You see, Judy and I have been at this a long time. The economy's down. We lose a lot. We've lost a lot of support. Much of our support has been cut back because the finances have cut back. But I've noticed something. The restaurants haven't cut back. And Walmart hadn't cut back. And our problem was we gave according to our abundance rather than our responsibility. How many of you are geared up right now before you let the missions of the church go down to go sell some things? I'm not addressing your church, Brother Ken. I'm speaking in general. I'm lying. I am addressing you. We have a responsibility. We, as God's people. I have a bunch of stuff I don't need either. God's been good to me. Most that I have has been given to me. You need not buy very little. God's people have just been so good to us. So good. But you know what I want more than anything? And Judy and I give, I'm not going to tell you, but a good percentage of our income back to missions. A good percentage. I believe what I'm talking about tonight. Matthew saw him as the king, the lion of Judah. Mark saw him as an ox, the servant of mankind. Luke saw him as a man, he who came us. The last Adam. I love this in closing. I'll close with this. I could go on for hours. Let's go, if you would, to the last book of John. John, what can you say about John? John does not mention his own name in his book. His name's not mentioned. Most, except because it says it's that apostle that Jesus loved or the beloved, that John wrote it. Have you ever wondered what the purpose of the book of John was? Look, if you would, in John chapter 20. I'll finish in a moment. Verse number 30. John chapter 20, verse 30. The Bible said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." That's why you see so many ministries print John in Romans. John was written that they might know who he is and that they might believe on his name. And Romans tells you where you were in your sin, where you're headed, you're unrighteous, but he died and the wages of sin is death. And if you call upon him, you can be saved. So they do John and Romans for evangelistic tools around the world. Notice, if you would, and I'm getting close in closing for this lesson tonight. John, if Matthew saw him as a lion of Judah, the king, Mark saw him as that oxen servant that served mankind, and Luke saw him as the man God, John saw him as an eagle. John said, "In the beginning was the Word." Whew. I'd love to meet John. John was always that kind of guy, Brother Ken, when you got around him, you went, "Whew." Oh, man. See, me and Brother Ken have to get together and get carnal because you couldn't get around John. There's no sign of John ever being angry, cursing. See, he wouldn't make a good Baptist preacher. Overflowing with compassion towards his Lord. When John met Jesus, he could not get over it. He sees him a different way. Now remember, All of these men are giving a dissertation on the final days of Jesus and the commission and command in charge of the church. John closed and said, I'm going to give you the cause. Nowhere did John say, go in all the world. Nor did he say, tarry. Nor did he say, go preach. But he consummated this mission message after the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall receive power. You shall become witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. John said, I'm here to represent the uttermost parts of the earth. Notice what he said in John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He would say in verse 16, feed my lambs. Do you love me? He would say in verse 17, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Notice if you would, verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. In verse number 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Matthew depicted him as king, and as king, he stands before his throne as an ambassador, and he says, now go ye and take all of the articles and all of the indoctrination and all of the authority of this word and teach all nations. You don't need a degree. You don't need a college education. You don't need some kind of homiletical and exegetical and expositional didactical method of approaching. Just take an old-fashioned King James Bible and go teach them. You have the authority of God to do so. Mark said, because of what he did for you, because of how he changed you, now get up with your testimony and go tell it to all creatures everywhere. You get out there and there's a cow or a goat or a chicken. Go home and look at the dog and say, listen to me, dog. There was a day that Jesus saved me. All creatures. Luke said, tarry you a while in Jerusalem till you be empowered from on high. John summarized it. Jesus said, do you love me? Hey, do you love me? I'm going to Africa. Do you love me? I'm going to Korea. Do you love me? I'm going to the Philippines. Do you love me? I'm going to Mississippi. I'm going to Canada. Do you love me? I think people go to Japan and India, Kazakhstan, Sri Lanka, Mozambique, and I'm going. Now, do you love me? I didn't just die for Bowden, Georgia. Now, I'm going, and if you love me, follow me. You see, Jesus realized the complexity of the task for Liberty Baptist Church to go into all the world. So he established in his Bible the method of sending. And you are as much a part of being on that field by your giving and praying as the missionary himself. We are no different. I am a church member of Faith Bible Baptist Church. Have been since I was saved. Only had two pastors. The elder got sick and could no longer pastor and passed it on. I've been involved in the mission program of that church. When Judy told me what we have given to missions in our 33 years, I literally fell back in my chair. I could be retired today. I'm 56. If I lived as long as my dad, I'll be around 25 more years. If I lived as long as my grandmother, I'll be around 35 more years. I could retire today. Oh my. But it never was mine to start with. It wasn't mine to put in the bank. It was what He said, I'll use you if you'll let me. And He summarized missions this way. How can they hear without a preacher? There don't have to be your preacher in India or me in India. It can be you, and you don't have to leave that pew. You can sound the message in an offering plate. You can sound the message by sending the Bible. You can sound the message by winning this community so there's a generation behind you to continue the message around the world. There's young people here, teach them. There's sinners to be reached just down the street. Invite them to the house of God. See their lives changed. He came not into the world to condemn the world. But He came, didn't He? And this is missions. Taking the message to all people and all nations for the glory of God. When is the last time you've been overpassionate about a people you've never seen? I don't know where you may stand, but if you've watched news, you know that you can't see anything but this young black boy that was killed. And I will not stand. I don't get into politics on guilty or innocent. That's nothing to me. I wasn't involved. But I sat when, it didn't matter the verdict. But when closure came, it dawned on me. There's a 17-year-old boy, I said 14, there's a 17-year-old boy somewhere in eternity. I wonder, his mama's a Christian, great testimony of his parents today, said he attended church, but I don't know if he was saved. I don't know. And tonight, while we have been in this service, over 2,500 people estimated have died and went to hell around the world. That's, I don't know how they calculate that, but they do. 2,500 people died and went to hell from the time we started to time closing the message. What is missions? Knowing we can stand before Him and say, Lord, we did what we could do to take that message around the world. Father, I love You. I'd say to this people tonight, if anybody's failed You, it's me. If anyone's wasted his things in his life, it's been me. And I need Your help. Judy and I can give more. We can sure pray more. And there's another mile could be traveled to Your glory. Let me not push myself or gain things that men might brag. But let me follow You to wherever You'd have me to be. And I'll praise You for what You do. Lord, thank You for this people who by testimony of their giving tonight are a tremendous mission outreach. But the world is still not saved. And there's some young people here can give. And there's some folks here that have yet to get involved in that area of missions. I pray tonight, God, You move in that heart. Challenge us more for a world that is in need. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ken, would you finish for me, please?